The San Antonio Spurs are on the verge of elimination after the Golden State Warriors beat a Kawhi-less and Tony Parker-less San Antonio Spurs team Saturday evening in the AT&T Center, 120-108. This was a game where the Warriors went up by 18. At one time, the Spurs chipped away in the third quarter, got the lead down to 3, but the Warriors again went on a run. In the fourth quarter, Golden State brought the lead once again back up by double digits. San Antonio got it within 8 points. But then the Warriors used a 10-0 run to get that lead back up to 18. And so in the end, the game was pretty much decided by early in the fourth quarter, as the Spurs are now on the brink of elimination and have one game remaining to try to stay alive in this series. I am Paul Garcia of ProjectSpurs.com. Let's go ahead and break down what happened in Game 3 between the Spurs and Warriors. So not only was Kawhi Leonard out, of course, with the ankle injury after rolling it on Zaza's foot in Game 1, but Tony Parker was out as well since the Houston Rockets series. But the Spurs saw another injury happen. Manu Ginobili on a transition play fed the ball to David Lee. He finishes with an and one, but he came down awkwardly on his knee. And so David Lee is now out with a left knee injury, is what the team is calling it. He is listed as doubtful for Game 4 on Monday. The team is still waiting some MRI results to see exactly how much damage was done to the knee. In his press conference Sunday, Coach Pop spoke that maybe it wasn't as bad as they initially anticipated. You know, David Lee was actually in a wheelchair. He left straight to the locker room. He didn't even wait for the medical staff. So it looked really bad, but maybe it's not as bad. The Spurs will find out with those MRI results. But for now, Lee is listed as doubtful along with Kawhi Leonard. So both of them are likely not going to play in Game 4 on Monday. Who were the Spurs' key playmakers on Saturday? One guy I want to start off with was Manu Ginobili, 39 years old. Finishes with 21 points on 9 shots, shoots 78% from the floor at 39 years old, shoots a 5 of 8 from the free throw line, stayed aggressive, 2 assists, 1 steal. He shot 2 of 3 from 3. When I talk about the Spurs' 3-pointers, Manu had almost half of their 3-pointers. He also played 18 minutes in the game. Manu did a really good job in the first half of attacking David West. He would purposely run some pick and roll action to kind of get West on him, switched onto him, and he can drive to the rim versus West. And then also in the second half, he did a really good job of taking advantage of the young Patrick McCall. He purposely, like on pick and roll action or off the ball action, he'd use some screens from teammates and get McCall lost on defense so that Manu could get some easy layups against him. So Manu, you know, stayed aggressive. All the players, the Spurs players, talked about how it was inspiring to watch him at 39 years old continue to stay aggressive. He didn't back down. He continued to try to stay relentless in attacking the rim. He had his outside shot going a little bit too, as mentioned. So Manu at 39, you know, he's still showing that he can be very, very productive. Almost like kind of reminded me of Vince Carter at Memphis. You know, he's 40 years old and he stays in his limited minutes and limited role. He still stays very productive for the Grizzlies. This is what Manu is doing for the Spurs. During the season, he can kind of watch his body, his health, because they can rest him. They don't really need him. They don't depend on him. Seriously, during the regular season, they let a lot of the young guys get minutes to kind of get them some experience. But now you're seeing in the playoffs, it's paid off because Manu looks fresh game in and game out. Outside of that initial Memphis series, when those first 4 games when he couldn't score a basket, he's looked really good since then, since Game 5 against Memphis, all the way to this Golden State series where now he has 21 points. There was a stat by Jordan from the Spurs' PR department where he put that in the conference finals, only Manu Ginobili and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar are the 2 players to ever score over 20 after age 39 in a conference finals game. So Manu was there making history along with Kareem. LaMarcus Aldridge scores 18 points, takes 17 shots, 41% field goal, 3 of 4 from the free throw line, gathers 5 rebounds, dishes an assist and gets 2 blocks in 28 minutes. So though Aldridge, again, he had a rough shooting night, but at least he was a lot more aggressive. He took the shots that whether they were contested a little bit or not, you could just tell he was at least trying a little bit more than what he showed in Game 2. One thing that wasn't working early in the first half was the Spurs kept trying to do the traditional post-up to Aldridge. And that play against this Golden State defense, they're just too good with their swarming, with their help defense. That play was just ineffective. He only had, I think, 4 points at the half or 6 points or something like that. So in the second half, what you saw was San Antonio went away from the traditional post-up to get Aldridge going. They actually used a lot more pick-and-roll action, pick-and-pop action, and it got him really good mid-range looks. He got a 3-pointer out of transition. He got like 2 dunk attempts. So I think that's something that they're going to definitely employ into Game 4, is just go away from the Aldridge post-up, try to get Aldridge going in the pick-and-roll. One thing he does really well is when let's say it's Patty Mills and Aldridge, he can easily Aldridge sets the pick, and he takes the help defender with him, the ball handler defender, and he can actually post that person up. And then also when the Spurs stayed small, they were able to find Aldridge as well with mismatches like Andre Iguodala or Klay Thompson or somebody like that. So I think that you're going to see that a lot more is more pick and roll action for Aldridge because it takes away the Warriors' ability to help as much in his traditional post-ups. He talked about that after the game too, that what fans may not see unless you really play basketball is that they're actually like they're constantly just double teaming him anytime he gets in the post, anytime he puts the ball on the floor, left or right side from the elbow. They're just continually throwing help defenders at him. So I think the pick and roll is a really good way to get him some effective baskets heading into game four. Jonathan Simmons scores 14 points, takes 17 shots, shoots 41% from the floor. He gathers 5 assists, 1 rebound, 1 steal in 34 minutes. So one thing with Simmons is he's continuing to take the mid-range shot that the Warriors are giving him. If you watch them, they always have help defenders in the paint. Anytime he has a pick-and-roll possession, they want to make sure that he's not getting to the rim because that's one of his strengths, not getting into the rim and trying to feed people out from the outside. He got a few assists, like I mentioned, 5 there. But, you know, if the Warriors are going to give him that mid-range shot, he's going to take it. He did struggle a little bit with his outside shot. He shot 0 of 4 from the floor, from 3, actually. So Simmons, you know, scores 14 points with what he's able to do on 17 shots. He'll continue to stay aggressive headed into that fourth, into the last quarter. One thing I do want to comment on was a David Lee injury. I'm recording this on May 21st. And ESPN just released this release. They say David Lee's MRI confirms partially torn patella, says agent Mark Bartelstein. Will consult with doctors about possible surgery. So that basically shows you that David Lee's most likely out for game 4. And should the series continue to go past game 4, he's probably going to be out for the rest of the series. So that doesn't look good for David Lee, especially as he could possibly hit free agency if he opts out of his deal. He has a player option going forward. Offensively, the Spurs shot 47% from the floor. They made 5 of 21 threes, as I mentioned here. Manu had most of those threes. He had 2 of their three-pointers. The Warriors made life difficult for Danny Green and Patty Mills from the outside, 2 of the Spurs' key three-point shooters. Danny shot 1 of 5 from the outside. Patty Mills, 1 of 4. Something Coach Mike Brown talked about after the game was that one thing that's not really getting noted was Klay Thompson's defense. They gave Klay Thompson the responsibility of trying to limit Patty Mills as much as possible in the series, and it's worked so far. Patty had 5 points in game 1, 5 points in game 2, and now just 7 points in game 3 in San Antonio. So Klay is doing a really good job of constantly chasing Patty around screens, picking him up off screen, off pick and roll action, and so it's really taking out one of the Spurs' deadly scorers that they usually need since Kawhi and Parker are out. Spurs shot 15 of 25 from the free throw line, left 60%. They had a little bit of trouble there, left 10 free throws at the line. They collected 22 assists on 44 made field goals. A lot of that was, so they assisted on half of their shots made, so that's pretty good for them. A lot of that was in the first half. They were doing pretty well as far as playing small. Pop decided to sit Pau Gasol to start the game and put Kyle Anderson in, so they went straight with the small ball unit, and Kyle's a good passer. He gathered 5 assists. They were moving the ball pretty well in that first half, but then, of course, their offense did get constrained a little bit in the second half. And so they finished with 22 assists. Turnovers continue to be the Spurs' kryptonite against this Warriors team. San Antonio turns over the ball 16 times for 20 points for the Warriors. In game 1, it was 19 turnovers. In game 2, it was 19 as well. So this is both, one, because Golden State's a really good defense. They're basically, statistically speaking, they are the best defense in the playoffs right now. In the regular season, they were the second best defense behind San Antonio. And then you have to think about it this way as well. San Antonio's missing their two key ball handlers, Tony Parker and Kawhi Leonard. Without those two guys, they're depending on guys like Danny Green, like Aldridge, like Simmons, like Patty Mills to have to carry the offensive load, and that's really tough for them considering they're not the guys who usually carry that much of the offense in the regular season. Now, all of a sudden, this is their main duty and job. So it's been tough with the turnovers for San Antonio in this series overall. The Spurs' bench outscored the Warriors 56-23. Some of that is due with, again, the scoring at the end. It was pretty much over early into the fourth quarter. So there were some like garbage points that didn't really count. But some guys that did have a good game, like I mentioned, Manu had 21 points. Pau Gasol had an okay 12 points on 11 shots. DeJounte Murray, you know, he's continuing to get some experience despite, you know, this series being 0-3. He scored 10 points on 6 shots. So the Spurs did win the bench battle, but it didn't really matter because the Warriors still were able to get 120 points mostly from their starters. The 6-minute increments charts, I think the only place you have to really pay attention, it's pretty good that without Kawhi and without Parker, the Spurs were still able to kind of avoid their scoring droughts from those first 3 quarters. It was the one that started that fourth quarter where Golden State went on a 10-0 run in 2 minutes, and they really stopped San Antonio from scoring to start that fourth quarter, which pretty much blew open the game. And that was it from there. Pop didn't even bring Manu back into the fourth quarter. So it's tough. You know, like I said, that they're the best defense. The Spurs are missing their two of their key playmakers. And of course, now David Lee's out as well. So it'll be tough for San Antonio to try to get this next win, but they'll do what they can to continue fighting. The Spurs defense, the Warriors shot 55% from the floor. They make 11 27 threes, 41%. They shoot 17 to 22 from the line. The Spurs won the boards 46 to 42. They held Golden State's 9 offensive rebounds. One thing the Spurs did do better in this game that they didn't do in game 1 and 2 was they really did a better job of transition defense. Anytime that the Warriors got a steal and they ran down the other way, the Spurs were able to get bodies down there and try to prevent them from getting an easy layup or dunk attempt or 3-point attempt. And so the Warriors only got 10 points in transition. So that's one thing that helped San Antonio stay in the game at least up until that fourth quarter when it was only an 8-point game still. So that's something, obviously, if they can still keep the Warriors from executing in transition, the Spurs will have a better chance of at least trying to steal a game here in game 4 on Monday. The Warriors' top 4 playmakers, they're all-stars basically. Kevin Durant, he went 33 points with 19 shots. 10 rebounds. He was really the difference in that third quarter when Golden State put a run together. The Spurs just had no answer for him. They put Manu on him. They put John Simmons, Danny Green. A lot of their defenders got different tasks with KD, and sometimes he hit some crazy, you know, double team shots over them, contested shots, and you just have to, you know, tip your hat to him. He made good shots, and so that was what happened with Kevin Durant. He went off on Spurs. Steph Curry has a casual 21 points on 15 shots with 6 steals. The move to put Kyle Anderson starting instead of Pau Gasol really helped the Spurs defensively. They were able to, they can't stop Curry one-on-one, but they can at least limit him from penetrating the paint and really just collapsing their entire defense, which is what he was doing to Pau Gasol in those first three games, in those first two games. So at least I think you're going to see Kyle again start there in the first quarter and third quarter. And just because it helps the Spurs at least defensively stay home on their other players. And Curry might score one-on-one on whatever matchup he gets, whether it's a switch or the initial defender. But at least it helps San Antonio have a chance because they're able to cover the rest of the 5 players and not get, you know, have the defense collapse like it did with Pau Gasol there. Klay Thompson finally got going. He had 17 points on 15 shots. As I mentioned, though it's not seen in the stat sheet, his main production, the value that he's bringing to the Warriors on the defensive end, where he's really holding Patty Mills down in the series. And then, of course, Draymond Green finishes with 10 points, 7 rebounds, and 7 assists. Just an all-around game from him as he continues to, again, be another challenge for the Spurs. Looking at game 4, some adjustments that the Spurs might make is I think that for sure they're going to, like I said, I think they're going to definitely look for more Aldridge pick and rolls and pick and pop action. That's getting him better post-up looks. It's also getting him wide open mid-range jumpers. Now it's up to him, of course, to try to make those shots. He's going to have them available to him, and it's up to him if he makes them. He needs to try to do that for them. I think the Spurs will also continue to stay small. They played really good basketball throughout the game when Pop would just mix it up with small ball units. They really struggled to start the fourth quarter when Pop went with like a combo of Deadman and Pau Gasol, and that's when you saw a lot of their scoring droughts happen. So I don't think that he's going to stick to some of those traditional big lineups that he usually uses. Now Las Vegas thinks it's a sweep. Basically, they're projecting the Warriors to win by at least 12 or more points in game 4. And, you know, based on the Spurs will do what they can. Like I said, if they can just limit their turnovers, if they can take advantage of getting Aldridge better looks, you know, continue to get a good Manu, good John Simmons as well, they might have a chance to get a game here. But without Kawhi and David Lee, it's going to be really tough for them. For Project Spurs, I am Paul Garcia.